The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tyres.
Hello, this is the Offside Rule, We Get It podcast with myself, Lindsay Hooper, joined by Hayley McQueen.
Just the two of us, you and I.
There's no other with us. It's just us two this week. I have to say, though, I have seen a future Offside Rule host-to-be. I know that you're going to be meeting him early next week. Do you want to fill everyone in?
This is Arthur, baby Arthur, who is Kate's newest arrival. Brother to Molly, and now part of the Offside Rule podcast gang. Yes, a couple of days old he is now, isn't he, as well? He was £9 too.
I know, massive, huge. Yes, both mother and baby doing very well, by the way, for anyone who's a regular listener wondering how Kate's doing. He is gorgeous. I've shown you a few photos, haven't I?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a cold at the moment, sore ears, sinus problems, didn't think it would be healthy to be around a brand new baby passing on my germs, so I will have to wait for my big meet and greet with him.
Well, I like that because it meant that I got to give him your kisses and cuddles, which was good. So cracking on with the podcast though, and what we've got to talk about, we will be talking about some turnarounds in lower league football. We're going to talk about the manager effect, the new manager effect. It's happened for a few teams up and down the leagues, although we both discussed this and said, actually, not so many managerial dismissals this season so far.
There aren't, particularly when you look at the Premier League. There's normally been about four or five by now, but we're still doing pretty strong. Tides are changing in terms of chairman sticking with managers. There's actually been more change at the top when you look at the Championship and the Premier League in terms of ownership. You look at Chelino at Leeds United, things changing as far as owners go and personnel behind the scenes, but not so much the managers.
Absolutely. So we'll move on and we'll talk about the impact that some new managers can have on teams that have replaced at the top. And then we're also going to talk about sideline jobs. A bit on the side is what we're calling this. So many footballers that we know and we watch week in, week out have little sideline businesses, don't they? And off the back of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, by the way, were you busy on those days?
I refrained from getting involved in the madness. I certainly wasn't queuing up trying to buy 48-inch telly in a supermarket because I'd have probably caused myself some injuries. If I don't win, I'm in trouble. I'm an extremely competitive person, so I just didn't want to get involved in any kind of scrum. I did pick up a little bargain online, but I refrained. I have done all my Christmas shopping as well.
Oh, no, this makes me sick. I'm actually sat in Hayley McQueen's flat right now, looking at all her wrapping up she's doing, ready for Christmas, making me feel like I'm really behind the times. We'll talk about sideline jobs then. That's going to be topic three. But let's start by talking about injury lists, the crocked list, because one of the themes that we've seen over the last couple of weeks has been the number of injuries, especially in the Premier League. Arsenal have suffered quite a few, haven't they? Jack Wilshere being out, the latest victim that was reported recently. Also, Vincent Kompany in the midweek games, he went off for Manchester City. Got us thinking, it's a sort of an oxymoron because it's your best injured 11. We're going to pick our best injured 11 between us. And what we mean by that is, I suppose, the best players that are missing from certain squads right now, and when they come back will really hopefully kick on.
Yeah, definitely. And I tell you what, at the moment, Newcastle United are in real trouble. They top the table. Not in the Premier League, of course, but as far as injuries are concerned, Manchester United just behind them with big name injuries as well. We're not just talking sort of, fringe players. You've got Di Maria, Rooney, Luke Shaw, Blind, Jones, Raphael, Evans, Lingard, all out injured at the moment. Arsenal, you were chatting about Wilshere. You add to that Walcott, Mesut Ozil, Arteta, Monreal, Stoke City right up there as well. They have seven injuries. Chelsea are doing pretty well. I don't know what Chelsea are doing. Maybe Arsenal should head to Chelsea and pick up a few tips, because there's something with Arsenal right now. There is something not quite right. They just seem to be so injury hit. What do you think's happening, Lindsay?
Well, this was put to Arsene Wenger in a press conference that I was at recently, and he insists that these problems are all joint problems, not muscular problems. So if players get muscular injuries, often that can go to the clubs themselves and put at their door and said, well, actually, you're not taking care of the players well enough. But if it's deemed to be a joint injury, there's not really much you can do about it. And Wenger's sticking with that line.
Well, tell you what, we'll start with our 11 then. We're going to go with Tim Krul and go. We know Chesney's out, but he is, of course, due back very, very, very soon. Tim Krul, key for Newcastle. They've only got Rob Elliott, who can come in and deputise for them, which he did at Upton Park. A key spell, though, this is the problem. You could do with Tim Krul when you're facing trips to Old Trafford, to play Arsenal as well. You've got the big derby, the Tyne-Wear game with Sunderland. They're also in the Capital One Cup. They've got a quarter-final with Spurs. Alan Pardew, ahead of the midweek game, which was, of course, the game against Burnley, said Krul could be actually sidelined until January, possibly mid-January.
I think he's a huge miss. Really, really important goalkeeper. And it's not just that. You look at the backup, and is Rob Elliott good enough?
Probably not, no. But, I mean, they drew with Burnley. They held them to a draw. It was away, but still, the way that Newcastle have gone, yes, they've had some amazing games, haven't they? They were off the back of undefeated in five, or it might have even been five wins. I'm not too sure. I'll have to check the stats. But they'll be wanting to keep that up, actually, and wanting to really progress with that.
We'll move on then to defensive duties and the players that are out at the moment. A couple of those coming from your club, Manchester United. I guess if you look at defence, yours is the one that's most depleted. Luke Shaw, big money signing, came in out again.
Oh, goodness me, yeah. His ankle, real problems, thinking left back, Patrice Evra's gone. You've got somebody to come in to fill in. That's going to be key for you all season. But no, in a press conference, actually, it was quite funny with Van Gaal having a bit of a laugh about, Falcao and Rojo being injured as well. He was making jokes, wasn't he, about the Manchester United Twitter account tweeting the wrong information about how long they were going to be missing, saying, you've got to, you know, really pay close attention to this. The England international suffered a groin injury and has dropped down the pecking order because you've got the likes of Ashley Young coming in, actually, who's kind of relishing this chance. He wouldn't maybe have been in Van Gaal's starting 11, but the injury to Luke Shaw has meant that he has come in. Really key time for Manchester United. Another win midweek, which was a really good result. But Shaw will just be chomping at the bit to get involved with this Manchester United side who are playing really well at the moment. Funny about Daley Blind as well, because in that same press conference, Van Gaal had said, I gave Blind a holiday. This was chatting on Friday. And he came back on Monday. So he didn't go away for very long at all. He said he's got to exercise, practice every day and train more than the fit players. You think, actually, niggly little injury, miss a couple of games over Christmas, get to spend time at home with the kids, doing a bit of Christmas shopping with the missus. Actually not. You're in far more because once the players obviously train, you're in there in the gym, you're getting treatment and you stay back and you're often in there in the afternoon working in the gym or, you know, having a one-on-one with the physio. So actually it's a lot tougher than when you're just training as well. And mentally, it can be very, very hard.
I guess away from Manchester United, we perhaps would identify Kyle Walker, shall we go with him?
Yeah.
From Spurs. Big miss at right back. He's not played for Spurs' first team since March now. It's a huge miss. Missed out on England's World Cup squad as well because of this long-standing problem. He's had abdominal surgery. He's meant to be doing pretty well coming back from that gradually. He has played his first competitive match in just over 8 months. Lasted about 67 minutes. He did tweet afterwards that he felt good back on the pitch. Nice to cap it off with a win too. So you'd think that he might be coming in the next few months. Maybe in the new year we'll see more of Kyle Walker, but certainly for this point of the season so far he's been a big miss.
Yeah, a big miss as well. When you chat about, we've got a few players in here, young England players will be hopefully involved in the next Euros and World Cup squads as well, of course. Ryan Taylor, he's 30 years old now, only just made his comeback after what, nearly 2 years out. And it was sidelined again with anterior cruciate ligament problem. Real, real trouble time for him. I'm surprised he wasn't crying when he limped off the pitch when he knew he was injured again. But that tends to happen when you've seen with Wilshire. They're out for a long time. They play one game. You think you're fit, you train. But playing a full match, regardless of whether it's 90 minutes or you're coming off the bench or you start and you only intend to play a half or 60 minutes, just a completely different intensity and a completely different kind of vulnerability when you're obviously up against players and being a bit careful about going in for tackles and things like that. He made his first start there. It was against QPR. Really big boost for him personally. Maybe, yeah, okay, for the starting 11 as well, but more for him because I really feel for players like this at 28 years old, when you're at the peak of your career, to be missing for nearly 2 years through an injury, coming back at 30. It's not like you're coming back missing, you know, in your early 20s, and it's easier when you've got that fitness and freshness and you've got youth on your side. He might only have, you know, a couple more seasons in him in the Premier League, so I'm really crossing my fingers that he'll be okay. It was initially thought he would be missing until the new year, but actually Alan Pardew said he could be back a little bit sooner than that, so that is really good news.
At Liverpool as well, Mamadou Sakho is worth a mention. Is apparently highly satisfied to step up his rehabilitation from a thigh injury that he's coming back from. He joined the Reds, didn't he, for a training session quite recently. They made the trip to Leicester in what was a very thrilling game midweek. But I think he's he's one to watch for coming back. He hasn't featured for Liverpool since the Reds' penalty shootout victory over Middlesbrough in the League Cup in September. So it is going to be a bit of an ask for him to slot straight back into that squad, because Brendan Rodgers has had to make quite a few changes. And I think there needs to be some consistency to the Liverpool squad going forwards. I think some changes will be made, and they'll be made for the long term. So whether he can get back in there, I don't know. But he's on the brink of a return to first team action.
We mentioned Jack Wiltshire. He is, of course, in there, ruled out for up to 3 months. We've seen him tweeting and putting things on Instagram with his foot up, having had successful surgery. So he looks like he's in good spirits. But again, another kind of Ryan Taylor player, where just fraught with injuries. It's just a real shame that such a young, promising player keeps having these setbacks, because it's got to do something, in, you know, mentally up there as well. You'd just be kind of, I don't know, how would you feel going into a game thinking, oh, would you go into it thinking, oh, I've just got to get through this unscathed, as opposed to thinking, well, I want to come out with this with a good performance and win.
And so many people as well saying that maybe he should change his game. That's not something that Arsene Wenger was in favour of. But you do watch the footage back, and he does take the ball into the heart of defences, and he leaves it so late, doesn't he, to release that ball. He leaves his ankles exposed, and that's something that's been put to him. But this was a story that I covered, actually, and Wenger did reply by saying that he was much more worried about Jack Wilshere 12 months ago than he is now. Oh. He's much more confident about him coming back from this one. Morgan Schneiderlin for Southampton. Schneiderlin's been so crucial to Southampton's run. I was asked about this for a French website, actually. I know that you've been asked to do a little piece for them too. And I likened Schneiderlin and his form at Southampton to Wayne Rooney when Cristiano Ronaldo left to go to Real Madrid at Manchester United, because it was that ability, wasn't it, to be able to step up. Rooney did that. He shouldered the responsibility and shouldered it well. And I thought Schneiderlin was going down that route as well, of being that senior, mature player that the others were looking to. So this is going to be a real setback for Ronald Koeman. He's waiting for the full scale of the issue, because it is an abductor injury. I think there's going to be scans needed further to this. It was an injury picked up against Manchester City. Already Schneiderlin missing against Arsenal midweek, and now going on to the next few games, I'm thinking he's not going to be someone that will be able to feature. It does open up an opportunity for Jack Cork. He's recovered from illness. So there's opportunities for others, but Schneiderlin being so key, it could be one of the misses of the season for them.
Maybe Steve Sidwell isn't obviously a huge name, but at Stoke, again, they need all the players they can get, losing against Manchester United. Yeah, they do have Peter Crouch. They've got Diouf Fasaidi as well, and Kirkic in there, and they've got people who can score goals. But I think Stoke, who don't have a massive squad, really need all the players for selection, particularly when they have games coming thick and fast over the Christmas period.
And really, I should have been keeping count of these. So that was three midfielders. Where are we up to? We've just got two strikers to go, have we?
We do, yeah. And they are big, big names missing from big clubs.
Okay, well, the first one would, of course, be from Liverpool. Daniel Sturridge, a huge, huge gaping hole that's been left in Liverpool's front line. The striker has got a chronic injury record, hasn't he? Subject of a special investigation at the moment by Anfield doctors. They're trying to look into why he's getting injured so often. It must be a real worry for Brendan Rodgers, because when he's in form, and if you look at the form that he showed last season, Daniel Sturridge is a huge, huge name to have on that starting 11 list. But the latest problem, it's just followed an innocuous flick, really, of the ball. And it's really difficult to know what happened in that training session. It's 9 separate injuries now on his left thigh alone. So Daniel Sturridge really picking up knocks left, right and centre.
Yeah, and they've actually said they're going to be working with the medical staff to try and establish what on earth is happening. Lots of investigations to try and find this cure, permanent cure. All the recent injuries have been sustained, as you mentioned, in training. And that is a big, big concern. It's not like during a match when you're overexerting yourself, but to have picked up problems during training, something, he's just not doing something right. So they're going to keep a really close eye on him, because, again, not just for Liverpool, but particularly, obviously, being a bit selfish and looking at England, he'll be wanting to be involved in the major tournaments as well. And if he keeps picking up injuries, you worry about that consistency. You need the consistency of games to make sure that you're going to be involved.
The next one, this team are doing okay without him at the moment. Let's talk about Edin Dzeko, because I've always thought he'd get a little bit sort of downbeat on the sidelines if he was out of action too long. He's a sort of striker that he needs to be playing. He likes scoring goals. He needs to be at the forefront of Manchester City's minds when they're looking at picking starting two up front. But a calf muscle strain has seen him not be available. Let's remind ourselves, though, he scored 4 goals in 17 appearances for Pellegrini's side this season. He might not have been in the best run of form just before he got injured, but now he's gone 8 games without finding the back of the net. It is going to be a bit more difficult to come back from that, isn't it?
That's it. That is the big problem. It's about getting your place back. If you've just been dropped to the bench because others are performing really well, again, mentally, you have to try and deal with that and fight your way through training and prove that you are good enough to be selected. But when you've got Aguero, who scored 12 goals, minutes per goal, every 81 minutes, he scores a goal. So, as you mentioned, he is absolutely on fire. Thank you very much to the television for providing us with some stats there on a Sky Sports News. But when obviously you've got company missing at the moment, these players want to be involved in the side that look like they might go on and win the Premier League, to have been a consistent key part of that Premier League winning season. And if he's out injured, he then has to start training, mentally get back from that, and try and prove himself. You know, others are obviously performing and are being selected over him at the moment because of the injury. How do you get back into a team when they just have so much firepower in the moment? They're almost not missing him, are they? And he'll probably be really upset about that, I'd have thought.
If you've got any to add to that list, that's our injured 11. There are loads more that you could have put on that list, but you can tweet us, let us know. At Offside Rule Pod is the Twitter account.
The female take on football.
On to topic number 2 then here on the Offside Rule. We get it with Continental Tyres, and we're going to talk about the new manager effect. Now, we can go down the leagues for this. There haven't been all that many dismissals, as we touched on at the start of the show, but there have been a few, and it has had a really good impact. It's surprising, isn't it, how many times when a club changes a manager, the immediate impact, and if we don't look long-term, because things over a longer period of time tend to even them themselves out. But for those first few games, usually there's a really, really good response to a new manager coming on board. So who have you gone for in terms of team, new manager, and them going on a bit of a run?
Well, tell you what, Accrington Stanley are 13th in the league at the moment. I know you might think that's nothing to be too proud of, but after James Beattie left, of course, they brought in a man who knows the club well, John Coleman, returning there for a second spell as manager. We all know sometimes when a new man comes in, it can be a bit too much of a change. But they've decided at Accrington, they go with the guy who knows the club really well. Beattie was in charge for 16 months, pulled on his boots, didn't he, and made an appearance a couple of times when they were doing woefully in the league. Coleman was there, just so you know, if you're obviously all listening, maybe not that familiar with Accrington Stanley. Who are they exactly? But he was there from 1992 until 2012. He led them from the Northern Premier League, First Division, into the Football League. So he said, it was no secret I've wanted to manage in the Football League again. He said, when a job comes up at a club as close to your heart as Accrington, then that ticks 2 boxes. I'll tell you what, it was back-to-back ticks, 3 wins in a row. They beat Northampton. It was a thriller of a game, 5-4, 9-goal thriller. They managed to keep a clean sheet against Plymouth, winning there, and they travelled away to Mansfield Town, another tricky tie, and won 1-0. Followed after that, back-to-back defeats, but they have had 4 more wins in the next 7 games. They're doing really well at the moment. Beat Notts County in the FA Cup, through to the next round to take on Yeovil, beat Cambridge United. Bit of a slip up. They narrowly were beaten by Exeter by 3-2, but they head into that FA Cup game and then a couple of key fixtures over the Christmas period, looking really, really strong. James Beattie, I think, will be pretty upset to think, oh, I'd have liked to have been the one to keep them there and sort of improve on things. He hasn't brought any players in. He's not done anything too different. They probably will look to bring a couple of players in January and maybe even push to get further up the table, because actually, at the moment, where things are in League 2, it's all pretty exciting. When you look at the table, yes, you've got Luton, Wickham and Shrewsbury, but there's only a point between each of them. Yes, Accrington Stanley sit a whopping 12 points behind Wickham, who are at the top, but there's actually only a few points separating. When you look at Newport, who are in that playoff position at the moment on 31 points, Accrington on 26. It's still actually pretty realistic, and it's a really competitive league this season. Jeff Stelling won't be happy because Hartlepool, again, another defeat, sitting rock bottom with Tranmere just above them as well. York just outside the relegation places. Accrington take them on too. But yeah, John Coleman's doing a really, really good job feeling back at home at a side that he knows very well. He was, of course, the third longest serving manager at one point in England, behind only Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger.
Well, from League Two to the Championship, and I'm choosing Gary Rowett, who replaced Lee Clark at Birmingham City. He's someone that used to play for Birmingham, and all the backroom staff that he brought in, they all have links with Birmingham City. I think that's really key to all of this as well. He succeeded Lee Clark at the end of last month. Now, let's talk about November for them. In fact, since he's been on board, since he replaced Clark, they haven't actually lost a game. They've gone five games unbeaten. Birmingham really needed this because they weren't doing very well at all in the league. And three wins, two draws, has lifted them well up the form table. A 2-1 victory over Nottingham Forest, probably the standout result in those five results, because Nottingham Forest started to waver under Stuart Pearce and were there for the taking. They're the third best in terms of record for the league in November, Birmingham City. There's only Brentford, who've won all five of their matches, and Mick McCarthy's Ipswich, who have a better record of results. Blues have returned 11 points, and that equals the whole total that they took 14 games to get under Lee Clark. So right now, Birmingham in the table is 17th, which you might not think, a little bit like what you were saying, it's not too much to celebrate at the moment, but considering that they were woeful and down in relegation, they've now got a 4-point buffer, and that 4 points could be key. Not only that, should we just mention as well that three of the teams in November's top six when it comes to the form book have all changed their manager this season in the Championship, including Russell Slade at Cardiff, Neil Lennon at Bolton as well. Interesting that that new manager effect is working well in the Championship at the moment. Like I say, 4-point buffer for Birmingham now, are 17th in the table. Two other things that stand out in the recent upswing. Under Rowett, Blues have won two home matches out of three. So it's obviously starting to look like their home form is turning. It took them more than 20 games to achieve that under Clark. And they've conceded just two goals in 450 minutes of football. Before that, they'd shipped eight in 80. So the former Burton Albion boss is working wonders right now.
Watch videos and hit subscribe to our YouTube channel, Offside Rule TV.
Well, usually at this point of the podcast, we do Twitter Topic of the Week, Hayley. However, we're not having Twitter Topic of the Week because we've got this brilliant competition that's running at the moment. All ties in with our European shows that we do with HTC, because we've got a pubcast coming up with a live audience.
It's on the 14th of December. It's going to be great. It's going to be Christmas parties, crackers. I have my little paper crown on, which when I take that out the cracker on Christmas Day, I leave on all day and all night.
Do you?
Keeping it. Yeah.
Do you lose the joke?
I love the jokes. In fact, for the Sky Sports Christmas party, I've even written my own jokes and put them in the crackers, and they're all sport related. That's how sad I am.
That's dedication for you, isn't it? You could be at our show. It's a pubcast with a live audience, just a small audience in North London. You need to be able to get there. Also, we're giving away an HTC One M8 handset with a special engraving to do with the Champions League. So if you'd like to be in with a chance of winning, go to our website, offsiderulepodcast.com, for full details. You can go to our Twitter site as well, at offsiderulepod, and we'll be tweeting links. So as Hayley says, 14th of December, I will also reveal, Hayley, that we'll have a special footballing guest yet to be revealed, but we'll have a Q&A with someone who knows their football. You've seen the short list. There's some big names on there.
It's a long list, actually. A long list of a short list. Yeah, short list, which is long.
There will be someone there. So come along, join us on the 14th of December if you can. It is in North London. If you can get there, we'd love to see you.
Listen to the Offside Rule We Get It on Audioboo, iTunes, and via our website, offsiderulepodcast.com.
On to our third and final topic then, Hayley. And this is something that I've enjoyed researching, because sideline jobs, we all like a bit of a sideline business. I know you're partial to a bit of eBay.
Oh, love a bit of eBay. Mainly helping my sister out as well, sell most of her wardrobe now she's pregnant. I will say that I will sell it on eBay to raise some much-needed funds for this new baby, but quite often I will just keep them and not give her the money. It's really bad.
We're calling this a bit on the side. Footballers, you'd think they earn enough money per week, but sometimes they just want a sideline business. I think sometimes it's just to keep themselves busy, isn't it? So I want a few examples of players who also do something else on the side. What have you got?
You probably know about Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs, but they have actually set up a business. They have charities. Obviously, Gary's a pundit for Sky. Ryan Giggs was playing football until very recently. And after he called it a day, he decided to set up GG Hospitality, along with cafe football and hotel football as well. He owns a restaurant called George's, which is also in the Northwest. But yeah, they've decided to make this 138-bed hotel built in the shadows of Old Trafford. It's going to have a five-a-side pitch on the roof and host up to 1,500 fans on match days. Rio Ferdinand as well. You'd think Manchester United and all they've won in the X amount of years that they've been achieving wouldn't need the money, but Rio Ferdinand, busy off the pitch as well as on it, 10 companies registered at Companies House that he is listed as a director of, which is quite astonishing. Number Five magazine, obviously you've got your hashtag Five, online magazine, clothing ranges as well. He's got Rosso, the restaurant in Manchester, really good restaurant there. In the past, he's had a film production company and a record label as well. He just likes to dip his fingers in many, many pies. And the whole of Class of 92 come together, and we've seen a DVD, obviously, released by these guys. You've got Scholes, Neville, Giggs, Butt, and they've decided to give back. And they've bought, of course, Salford City Football Club, a team that plays in the Northern Premier League Division One. And yeah, they're hopefully going to steer them up the football leagues in the coming years. So they're still kind of in football with football-themed things. Rio Ferdinand's obviously slightly different because it's fashion and magazine, but he still gears it towards football fans.
Well, this topic, it was all inspired and sort of came into our minds off the back of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. By the way, I didn't know it was going to get so big in this country, but it seems to have just really taken off.
I've never heard of Black Friday until this year. Everyone seems to have known what it is.
I think I heard about it last year.
Yeah. Okay.
But it seems bigger this year. Yeah. It got us thinking, it really inspired this topic of thinking of other things on the side. Linked in nicely, Emmanuel Frimpong has his Dench range, his clothing range. I happened to follow him on Instagram and he had a Black Friday deal going on. You could get something like 20% off. He's obviously running his sideline fashion business. Got to say, not my style.
But what about the Lescott Stewart collection, a fashion label of high-end designer clothes stocked in big department stores such as Harvey Nichols, and describes itself as affordable luxury with cardigans and jumpers going for about £200. So there you go. Lescott, the fashion designer. Wow.
That's affordable, is it? £200 for a cardi?
Apparently that is affordable. Yeah, I would not spend that. I'd have to sell a lot of my stuff on eBay just to be able to afford one of those oversized woolen knit numbers.
And it's not just the guys, is it, Hayley? We've got a lot of women footballers who don't just get paid for football for a living. So they have to have a bit on the side. We know that Enya Luko is a lawyer. We know that Rachel Williams, who plays for Chelsea Ladies, she's a bricklayer or plumber or plasterer, something along those lines. I know she does something very useful that I can't do at all. Don't you think that it's interesting to see, as the women's game gets more and more professional, if they'll hang on to those jobs?
You'd hope so. Plus, it's very hard for them as well. Quite a lot of them are PE teachers or work within kind of the sports industry, professional trainers, nutritionists. It kind of goes along with the job. But to have a professional job, to also potentially be mothers and have children and get the financial and support of your partner as well, but to take all that time out to go and play for not just your club, but potentially for your country, training camps, travelling, everything that you need to do to be at the best of your game. It takes an awful lot out of you. How they manage it, I do not know.
I know, it's incredible. Have you got any more for any more before we sign off for this podcast this week?
I think that is pretty much it.
Okay. That's not very often I come to you and then we're all done.
I was trying to crack out a couple of jokes, you know, a couple of Christmas cracker jokes, but I'll keep them up my sleeve for future podcasts.
I've got one for you, which is related to football, that you can put in one of your Christmas crackers if you like. Why was Cinderella so good at football?
Oh, I do know this.
It's because I've told it you before, probably on a podcast.
I think I actually got that in a Christmas cracker. I was delighted. Go on.
She had a pumpkin for a coach.
Oh.
I know, it's why she wasn't so good at football.
Oh my God, when a joke goes wrong. Not just the punchline, but the initial joke, Lindsay.
It's why she wasn't good at football. Yeah. That's why I shouldn't tell jokes, everyone. Anyway, we won't edit that. I'm going to leave that exactly as it was.
Okay, what about this one? My mate asked me if I saw the England goal. Unfortunately, I missed it, he said. I was too busy refereeing the match.
Ooh. Ooh. Could be interesting Christmas party for Hayley McQueen and friends.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much for listening this week. Check out all the latest articles online. We've got some great football blogs on there as well. OffsideRulePodcast.com is the web address. You can follow us on Twitter at OffsideRulePod. You can give us a like on Facebook, The Offside Rule. We get it. You can find us on there. That's it for this week. We will be joined by Kate Borsay next week. New mother on the block will be joining us.
Yes, Kate will be there joining us both for the Euro preview show, building up to all the Champions League and Europa League action. Of course, a big, big week. Final games in the groups in the Champions League for Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Getting very exciting.
Yeah, busy week for us next week. Goodbye for now.
Check out exclusive football content daily on OffsideRulePodcast.com.